Buy Addicts, for Addicts, for Better Name. Wade M.
Hello, family. My name's Wade, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Wade.
No, really honored to be here today to try to do the best I can to share my experience straight to those and carry that clear Narcotics Anonymous message that has helped me so much. It's hard for me not to become emotional when I share because of the gratitude. It's like I really realize that if it wasn't for the people in the past that kept these doors open, I know where I'd be. I'd be out there using today. That's where I would be. You know, those people tolerated me when I came in the rooms and loved me until I could even attempt to think of loving myself. So I always read a piece of literature when I share, because it helps me to build a foundation. And I truly believe that our literature is written by God and for us. So I'm going to read a portion of Just for Today. A simple program. The program is simply sharing, working the 12 steps, attending meetings, and practicing the principles of the program. Our complicated lives can be made a lot less complicated if we concentrate on a few simple things. Sharing our experience, strength, and hope with others, regular meeting attendance, and practicing the principles of the program in our daily lives. By sharing our experience, strength, and hope with other addicts, we provide a powerful example for newcomers to follow. The effort we put into helping others also helps keep self-centeredness, the core of our disease, at bay. Many of us pick one group, a home group, whose meetings we attend faithfully. This regularly gives some routine to our lives and lets others know where they can find us if they need us. Practicing the 12 steps in our daily lives makes the difference between a balanced recovery and simply not using. The steps give us some much-needed guidance in managing our daily affairs. Yes, we are complex people, but the NA program simplifies our lives, enabling us to live a life free from active addiction. Our lives can be filled with serenity and hope when we live by the guidance of the simple principles of our program. Just for today, I will remember that while I am a complex person, NA is the simplest way for me to make my life less complicated. And I think back when I first got here, you know, I was one of those people that I had to go here and go there and explore to find out where I really belonged. And I found out that at some point, you know, my sponsor explained to me that I needed to find a home group and a home where I could be found on a regular basis, where people would get to know me. And I'm like, well, I really didn't want to do that. I really wasn't keen on taking many suggestions when I got here. But one of the first, like, moments of clarity I remember was there was a guy that had as much clean time as I did being alive. And like, so I'm like, well, if I really, really want this, I started studying people and what they were doing. And like, I'd go around and I'd see them at meetings. I'd hear them, you know, spending time with newcomers. And so, although he didn't become my sponsor, he was one of the first people that I feel that sponsored me by his example. Just, he was there, and he spent time with people, you know, and he was there before, and he was there after the meeting. And so I remember that. And then another remembrance of, like, keeping it simple was, I remember another guy after a meeting, and, like, this is oh so important to me. And it wasn't that he said this to me. Somebody else had told me this man was dying of cancer. And I was like, odd, because like, of any reason that I could think of to hold on to a reservation, here this man was, knowing his last moments of life were slipping away from him, and he was spending it with me. That was what rolled me into this. I'm like, if that's the way, you know, and that's the way I hope I have the hope that if I live these principles that I never have to use again, that's the way I want to, when I exit this world, to be there for that last moment, you know. And I've watched some people with some significant clean time that have passed away clean, you know, and heard them share. And I just, what a privilege to meet these people, you know. So back to keeping it simple. To me, it's in the steps. It's in the steps. That first step, I have to admit I'm powerless. Because if I still think I can do it on my own, I don't need to be here. That's why I never came here in the beginning. You know, to me, keeping it simple was just simply being open-minded enough to listen to what somebody else has to say. Don't mean I necessarily am going to agree with it, but at least take it into consideration. You know, not immediately, previous speaker was talking about, throw that wall up immediately and say, at least have the respect. Because I believe every person's story is important, even if it's only important to them. Every person needs to be valued and has some respect and dignity showed to them. And that's something this program's is instilling in me, and that's how I can simply be effective. You know, sometimes it's just sitting there and listening. Just listening. I don't even need to say anything. Just being there. Early on, you know, I remember hanging out, and I went to help this guy move, and I'm like, he's like, well, I can guarantee this much, you won't get loaded today, and I'll feed you, and I'll buy you a pack of smokes. And I was like, sounds good to me, because I was homeless at the time. You know, that's how I came into this program, homeless. I was entirely desperate. There just wasn't anything left. I was at the bitter ends. Kind of like our speaker was last night, you know. I didn't have the courage to kill myself, but I sure didn't want to keep on living. I didn't want to keep on living, at least not the way I was living. So I started, you know, like I say, I came in. I went to my first meeting, and this just wows me, because when somebody mentions the initials, Narcotics Anonymous, I couldn't put those initials together. I went there because I absolutely couldn't stand the people in the homeless shelter. I couldn't. So I went to a meeting, and I heard the steps read, and I heard some people share, and I'm like, because I was entirely sure, I was brought up in a way that I was sure of anything, I did not want the label addict attached to my name. I didn't know what I really wanted to do in life, but I was daggone sure I did not want to become an addict. And so when I came, and because if somebody would have told me it was a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and what it was really all about, I wouldn't have went. Because I'd have been like, I'm not one of those people. So I believe my higher power blinded me, and I came in, and I heard that message, and I felt at home, and I was welcomed. You know, so to me, you know, that's what I try to do for that newcomer. Just to make them feel welcome here. That simple, you know, hey, you want a cup of coffee? How about helping me to read the basic text? That's one of my favorite things to do with newcomers, et cetera. Because that was what I was told to do early on, you know. When there would be a couple of us hanging out around the clubhouse, you know, and like bored and really talking nonsense, actually spreading mess, you know, I was gently nudged, hey, copy the basic text, sit down, you guys read that. I'm like, and he's like, well, you know, you told me you was willing to go to any lengths to stay clean. Is that too much to ask? I was like, stuttering, you know. I remember the first meeting I ever chaired, and, you know, it's back to keeping it simple. My sponsor was wise enough to know, because at that time I was starting to explore wanting to get into a relationship. And I'm not here to tell anybody to or not to get into a relationship, but I was at that point, and I was like, okay, he said, yeah, I want you to chair this meeting. And I was like, I can't do that. And like, I was really pushing at him, you know, pushing. He's like, I know you can read, can't you? I'm like, yeah. He said, well, it's a simple format. Read it. Put your name in the blank. You're an addict. You'll do all right, you know. And the first thing in my thoughts, you know, I couldn't keep that simple and just, like, I did that. I just read that simple format. Don't get me wrong. But, like, my ego was so powerful that I didn't realize that I was going to try to chair the perfect meeting. And it was a step-working meeting, and we read right out of the literature. And I didn't realize the reason he had me chair that meeting was because he knew that I was going to pay attention to what was being read so I could point the next person out, because that's how we did that meeting. And so, like, that's how I heard the message, really got that clear message in my mind, was because I was chairing that meeting and I was not going to screw that meeting up by not paying attention to what was being read. So, you know, to me, you know, I feel so gifted. Really, I do. You know, I love the freedom of not using, but now it means so much more to me. It's not just about not using anymore. It's not. You know, the other day I had the opportunity to spend some time with my children, and like I'm starting to make those amends with them. And for all that time I didn't spend with them, because being an active addict and a workaholic at the same time, which was just to feed my habit, but also that was part of my addiction. You know, trying to make myself look better. So all that time I lost with them, it's not I can regain that time. It's when I get that moment and that opportunity to spend with them, I'm in that moment. You know, I'm not floating off on worrying about this or that or something else. I'm in that moment. And I'm just, you know, to me that's a gift. That to be able to, you know, for that moment, for my obsessions, like somebody previous was talking about, my character defects, I like to chirp. Chirp, 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 chirp. You know, and anymore it's like I hear them, but I'm like, I don't have to live that way anymore. You know, it's still there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect by any means. But like when I catch myself up in that, I'm like, it don't feel right no more. It don't feel right. And to me, that's part of keeping it simple. You know, trying to keep in the moment. Trying to just be aware of my surroundings and everybody in it. And if I can't do nothing else, just not harm somebody else. You know, if I can't be helpful, at least, you know, don't do any harm. And when I look at the second step, I had no problem admitting to being sane. I'd already had two stays in a psych ward, so like I already knew that I qualified. And like when I think back, it wasn't so much that my mental health issues, it was because of what I was putting in my body and the way I was living my life and the people I was having relationships with, you know. And people would be like, well, no. I'm like, no. And that's the thing, you know, I realize today I'm gonna be okay. My higher power is gonna take care of me. It's not gonna turn out the way I think it should. And it's usually when I can really analyze that situation, look things over a little bit, I'm really glad it didn't turn out that way. Because it turned out oh so much better. But you know, still I had those expectations. I want. Now. You know, I came into these rooms, I wanted to be recovered. Like after a month. You know, I wanted to be like those people that had multiple years clean and like, you know. And I realized today that wasn't going to happen, but I'm glad those people allowed me to think that way and to tell me, keep coming back. you're in the right place, you know. I find it difficult at times when I'm in front of people, like one-on-one, or like if we was about three or four people, it would be so simple for me to sit up here and talk. So simple. But the moment I'm up here as the speaker, I'm like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. You know, but I'm realizing today that all I have to do is come up here and do my best. That's all anybody wants for me to do, is come up here and do the best that I can. You know, that's all I'm here to do, is the best that I can, because I can only be the only me I can be. You know, and that's what this program gave me, that self-acceptance, to be able to start looking at myself and say, I'm okay with that. And if I'm not, like the Serenity Prayer, have the courage to start to make those changes. You know, there's a lot in that prayer. We say it almost as a cliche. We hear it almost at every meeting exclusively. And it can be something that's so easy to say, but not really listen to the words we're saying and really to make them a part of ourselves. Really to internalize that and start to apply that spiritual principle in our lives. You know, the courage to change the things I can. I remember, when I first come to realization about that, one of my daughters was going to be moving in with me. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm a single parent of a teenage daughter. And like, I was freaking out, and immediately after she moves in with me, I get a call, and CYS is on the other end of the phone. Now I'm really freaked, right? Because I've been batching it, and the police, you know, granted I'm clean, but I, you know, I was living like a bachelor. I didn't care if the grass was this high. You know, I was like, I was still hot. And like I was talking to, and unfortunately she's still not with us. And she told me, she said, was there anything you can do before she gets there? I'm like, well, yeah, I could wash the dishes. So I'm starting and I get those dishes done, right? You know, the next thing I know, I start redding the place up a little bit, you know. And the woman shows up and like, it was so funny, and like, she left. It was not a big deal, but you know, I had myself convinced like they were going to jerk my daughter out of there, and like it was going to be a total catastrophe. But because I chose to apply the simple principles of this program and call somebody else that had been in my situation and had some experience with that, and I called her, and she's like, just, you know, start doing the simple things. Start washing the dishes. Start doing something about it. So she moved me from the problem into the solution. And that's, to me, the simplification of this. It's moving from the problem, or the problem's there. Yeah, but then I can start overlook, put the problem down, and start looking at the solution to the problem. You know, because that's really the answer. Start looking for those answers, you know. And it's not going to come right away. It's not. It's going to get there. It always seems to me it gets there at the very last moment. But it's never failed to get there when I most needed it. When I look at the third step, to me, you know, I was a person, I grew up with a faith in God. And I still have the same faith that I had in childhood. It's just now it's a relationship. Where before it was a list of 10 rules, and I wasn't going to abide by them anyhow, and da-da-da-da-da. And I didn't realize that, you know, my higher power had my best interest at all the time. He didn't want me to harm myself and others. That's all he was asking me to do. That's all he was asking me to do. And he wanted to spend time with me, and he wanted to take care of me. But see, my problem was, I didn't want him to. My ego, my edging got out. I didn't want somebody else taking care of me. Because how do you say, oh, I did this to somebody, you know, I was wanting to take credit for all the work. That's why I love our fellowship, where we, you know, our steps are wrote in the we version. It helped me so much, you know. Because it helped me to look in this room. Everybody in this room's an addict. You know. It helped me so much because simply, everybody here is an addict. They're not male, female, old, white, black, purple, yellow, whatever. We're all just simply addicts wanting to live this life and be freed from our active addiction. How much more simpler can we get than that, you know? It doesn't matter to me. It solely does not matter to me, because now we're all just addicts wanting to get another day clean. And see, to me, that's the simplicity of it. I've got to do the same thing the newcomer does to stay clean. Exactly the same thing. Because if I don't, I may not pick up that drug today, but that lifestyle, that totally hip, that totally fatally cool is going to show back up in my life. And then my peace of mind is going to float right out the window. And I'm going to be right back to that thought that recovery is not worth it. You know? And then I'm opening the door back up that crack and then starting to look backwards. You know? Because I know today enough from being around that no matter how long I have clean, going back out there can always happen. I've seen too many people that's been around for a very long time that forgot. They had years and they forgot how to have days clean. You know, and moments clean. Because there's some days, you know, I still have those moments. I still have some thoughts. But today, you know, here's a prime example. I have a chronic disease. I have a stomach inflammation. And I go and see my gastroenterologist. This was Monday, right? Okay. And he says to me, he says, you do realize they're going to legalize marijuana for your disease, I suggest you start smoking. And I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea. He's like, but you got Crohn's disease. I said, yeah, and I'm an addict. I've got another fatal disease. It's well going to wipe me out long before my Crohn's disease is going to get me. But my wife is also in recovery, so just to pull her chain a little bit, I said, you know, I've been thinking over what Doc was talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. And those grow lights and all that stuff. And she's like, and I said, nah. I, you know, because I know what would happen. I'm not going to use that as prescribed. No way. I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance. You know, now sitting here thinking about it, like, I could have looked at it and said, well, you won't see me again if I start using, because that's what I'll do, you know. And to me, you know, to be able to talk about that right here and right now, that's a blessing. You know, because there was a time I wouldn't have shared something like that out in the open. I would have kept that all. And see, that's what it's about. It's getting it out of me. That's why I had to start writing. And trust me, dear God, I do not like to write. And I found out why. Because I absolutely refuse to lie to myself on paper. I won't do it. And that's why my sponsor said it was important for me to write. Because I wouldn't lie to myself on paper, you know. But what I come to find out about writing all this stuff down, it's like a roadmap. I could start looking and I could see those patterns and how those patterns were leading me right back to the drug every time. Those obsessive thoughts. When I couldn't sleep at night, thinking it was all about insomnia. Don't get me wrong, I still wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, you know. That's why I read the Just for Today, and that's why the literature is always handy for me, because I'm guaranteed I start reading the literature, I'm going to fall asleep. It might be chapters, you know, or it might be a few paragraphs, but after a while. But what a comforting thing to fall asleep to, you know, is because it was explained to me that was a form of meditation. I was meditating on something good and beneficial. So I should do that. You know, because early on, for me to sit there and think I was going to clear all this stuff out of my mind and get to that point where, like, my thoughts would be totally cleared, that was insane thinking. But to be able to sit down and be able to focus on, you know, a couple chapters out of the basic text or paragraphs or whatever, that was possible and doable, you know. And it worked. You know, that's what I had to start doing, was listening. Hey, this person knows more about staying clean than I do. That's what the experience is. You know, they know. They've been right where I've been. They've done some of the stuff I've done, you know. You know, because that was what, too, my first sponsor. You know, I was up to something shady. And I wasn't going to go to a meeting that him and I usually attended together. And, like, I'm driving truck. And, like, this is how stupid I was. I said to him, I got an appointment. Now, mind, the meeting's at 8 o'clock at night. So what appointments you got at 8 o'clock? And then I stuttered for a moment. And while I was driving truck at the time, I said, yeah, I got an appointment to get my truck worked on, right? You know? So now I'm clear out in Pittsburgh, and I'm heading back towards Altoona. So I've got couple hours to ride on the spot before I get back there. And I kept rolling that over in my mind, you know. I knew I was lying. I knew I was up to something shady. So I got back. I went to the apartment. And that was the first time, like, I really realized I was going to do something right. And not only did I go do the next best thing, the next right thing, I went and told on myself. I told him. And what was so funny when I told him that, he's like, well, I didn't think that was static on the other end of the cell phone when you were talking to me. And so I was like, and he's like, look, dude, like, you don't think when I first got here I didn't try to do the same shit to my sponsor? How do you think we learn? You know? And but what was the really good news about the whole deal was, like, he still accepted me. He's like, dude, you could have blew me off anyhow. I wasn't going to fire you. I wasn't going to stop sponsoring you. You know, because I know you need the help. So that acceptance, you know, being accepted even though I was doing something that was dishonest and being dishonest with him. But the reality was, he said, it was more than just being dishonest with me or with him, but I was being dishonest with myself. Because I wasn't admitting to myself what was really going on in my mind, you know. When I got to like four was a real pain for me, because I don't like to write, but I, you know, because of doing the third step, I had the courage to continue into that and actually get the writing done. The five wasn't hard for me, you know, because I've been, you know, to me it's and that's where, you know, the guy who was sponsoring me was really good, because he said, look, this is not a deal where you're here to tell me all the bad stuff you've ever done in your life. We're here to figure out what you need to get rid of, what's causing you the most problems, so I can help you and guide you away. And so when we move on to 6 and 7, we'll know what your true character defects are, you know. And it's so you can help, and so you can know that you can go to your grave. And, like, I can truly know today, I can go to my grave, and, like, I ain't got no secrets no more. That I've told everything I've ever done, you know, like that, and I've gotten rid of it. And to me, that's what, when my self-acceptance could start, was because I no longer had to go around, you know, one of the groups of my... used to be my home group, you know. One of the things we'd say in the closing was, with their heads held high because they'd been down too long, I no longer have to put my head down because I'm not carrying around shit that I'm ashamed of anymore, or that I'm afraid somebody's going to find out, you know, because I've shared it with God and another human being. And it's like, he didn't say, well, you get away from me, you sick, no good, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I've done some of the same stuff, you know. And in 5, you know, 6 and 7 was just a simple fact of realizing it's my higher power that's removing my character defects, not me. All I need to do is cooperate. That's all I got to do is cooperate, not fight, surrender. Say, I can't do it. Show me how. And one of the first things that was still in me was just saying I don't know was an improvement. Just having the ability to say I don't know. So I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker because I've said all I have to say, and I really look forward to hearing her message. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Wade. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Jenna M., from the Bi Addicts for Addicts group of NA in the State College area. The Elizabeth group. We.
I've never seen you in my own group. I'm looking forward to hearing
Jenna Manatic.
Hey, Jen.
That was confusing. All right. help me reopen real quick so I can like get out of the way to share the correct message. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can with the serenity. All right, I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to speak. It's humbling, you know, to be able to come up and speak in retreat mode, you know, get a second to chill for a little bit before I do this. I have like this sense of calm feeling right now. I don't know why, but I'll go with it. Keeping it simple. The program itself, it says a simple spiritual, not religious program. You know what I mean? Like that's what first came to mind for me. And the program is simple. And thank God it is, because like when my feelings hit and my disease gets in my head, like if this was any more complex, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, I feel. I wouldn't be able to pick up the phone. You know, you told me to, like, if I feel like using to talk to somebody about it, or you know, now it's more like this disease thinking, defective thinking that will separate me from other people, you know? And if it wasn't as simple as, like, calling some people, some relationships I made as a foundation in the beginning, then, like, I don't know where I would be, you know? I'm the complex part of it. You know, that separates, the disease is the complex part of it that separates me from like this, the simple steps of the program. You know, I was told in the beginning, go to meetings, get a home group, get a sponsor, you know, do 90 and 90, this, that, and the other thing. And like, I listened, you know, because I wanted to be clean. And today it's just like this week I had feelings hit hard, and for me to like look back at like what the foundation I built here is, like, that's where I'm allowed to like give myself a little bit of credit of like, now I have people to turn to, and now I know what to do, even though like I'm insecure and afraid to go somewhere when I'm feeling messed up or defective. Like, I have these people that I'm comfortable enough to come to, you know, that love me like at my worst, you know. And that's all like a result of keeping it simple, of like the first three steps in like my like simple mind would be, is like the way I look at it, just like on a surface level, is accept and surrender, you know, ask for help, make a decision and do something about it. However, I don't. I'll tell you that right now. You know, that's the complex part of me. I'll sit in the shit and not get into, sorry Renee, not get into the simple solution, you know, or trying to figure out what the solution is, or knowing what the solution is and not doing it, you know. The program is, it's easy, but the doing the work and like the admitting defeat and everything like that, and like trying to change, is like the I guess that's where the recovery comes in, that separates like the girls from the women. Men from the boys, you know, something like that, one of those things, you know. That's the hard part, Like, I can go to a meeting, I could sit there, but can I share honestly to let you know where I'm at? Can I be like, do I have enough courage to be vulnerable and naked to really let you know how bad I'm hurting and to let you know where I'm at? You know, that's the hard part for me. But it gets easier because I feel more like secure in like these relationships that I've made here. You know, just like it was so hard to get here, to not even know this existed was even like blew my mind. And to finally get here and in the beginning, like, do the simple things I had to do, you know, is just like such a reward. But like for me, and like to be honest, it's getting harder. You know, the calling my sponsor and like the normal like four things that I do on a daily basis or try to is not hard. It's like the stuff that like as I become more vulnerable and more open, like I'm starting to hurt more. You know, and that's like the process of my growth, I guess, you know, to like figure out the solutions to these speed bumps in my recovery, the process of life that we call recovery, you know, and without it, I know where I would be without it, self-hate, dead, you know, like this is such a gift to be able to come here. This is such a gift to be able to like, I didn't know this was a part of it. When you told me to get here and do the simple things, I didn't know that the love and the growth of this fellowship was like the part of this. I had no idea. You know, if I like just got through those things, like the rewards are just so great. You know, I'm grateful. And I wish I could be grateful when I was having those complex disease feelings, but like, I guess that's the work in progress, you know? It's hard. Megan's laughing at me. She's like, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm so ungrateful sometimes. And if I could just simply remember to be grateful for a couple things, like on my way to work, you know, like I'm going to work. I have a life today, you know? I actually got up and went to work. Like, those are three simple things to be grateful for. You know, and I think if that's something I imply in my life, it'll help me, you know, a little bit better. Like, that's another simple thing to do. Just do like a gratitude in the morning, you know, that would like totally change my perspective. But I was so defiant to do it. I'm not writing a gratitude list. You know what I mean? That's the disease getting in my way, making like this stuff more complex than it has to be. Because if I just simply did something like that, it would change my perspective throughout the day. You know what I mean? Like, the disease can talk me into everything and out of anything. You know? The disease almost talked me out of, like, I did not want to speak in the beginning of the week. I was balled up, and I'm still pretty messed up. But, like, I know everything happens the way it's supposed to. And even, like, all the retreats this summer have come at, like, a certain time for me where, like, all I had to do was simply get here. And I'm going to be all right, as long as I got here, you know. And I just continue to go through the motions like a robot sometimes. But, like, I guess that's what, like, NA has done for me. It taught me early in the beginning to, like, learn how to do these motions. So when, like, I can't think and, like, I'm feeling so bad about myself and about everything and, like, beating myself up that I still can get to where I'm supposed to be. You know, if that's a meeting, if that's a friend's house, if that's here. You know, like that's what I learned in the beginning. But yeah, I wanted to figure a simple way how to get out of this because I didn't know how I was going to do it, you know. But I got here and like I keep showing up and like that was, this fire is hot, like dying up here. But like that was, I lost my train of thought. Getting here, you know, like, I don't know. I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful, like, everybody in this room is, like, I'm surrounded by, like, the love. And, like, the big thing that my sponsorship, like, circle says is, like, securing the love of the fellowship. And, like, even when I don't want to believe it, and I'm like, that fellowship, you know, it's true. Because they love me when I hate me. And they love me when, like, I need them to love me. And, like, I can love them today. And like when it comes down to it, like that is, that's like what I've learned. This year I've taken like the whole love spiritual principle. And thank God. And the hardest thing to do is like love myself and to learn how to, I've started, you know, and I get some ground and then I digress and I get some ground and I digress, you know, but that's the process. That's my process. And I know the things I have to do to love myself, but like the defiant disease, it just gets in the way. I let it get in the way. I'm not that strong enough yet, or I'm making excuses up for myself. I don't know yet. I'll figure that out in a couple of days, maybe. But I don't know. Thank God it's simple. That's it. Because if it wasn't, I'd quit. You know, my feelings aren't simple. My mind is not simple. But if I didn't catch on in the beginning, that was like the most important, then I'd have quit a long time ago. And sometimes when I feel like quitting, I just do one of those things. And then it like snowballs on. Because like it's a lot better being here. I don't want to know what it's like to have to get back here if I make it back here. You know what I mean? I don't want to. Because I know that disease will keep me out there with like the guilt and shame. You know? It's a powerful thing. It's scary. It's really scary to me. And that's okay. Because I'm learning more about it and how much it manipulates my mind. And how much more recovery I need to put into my mind. To be able to defeat that mean mother, you know what. So, I don't know. I don't usually speak long. I don't know why, but that's okay. I'm okay with what happened here. Thank you for letting me speak here. And that's all I have. Thanks, guys.